Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 63, Anger, Resentments, Hate, and Fear Are Not the Way. Today is Friday, September 5th, 2008. Let me ask you this. Do you know who's knocking on the door to your heart?
Yeah, you got sad shoes.
Hello again, everyone. Today's message, anger, resentment, hate, fear are not the way, was originally recorded February 10th, 1985. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from North Minneapolis. Can you hear me knocking? I love that song. Does it pull on your heartstrings? It's just something about that song. It's those guitars at the end. Just kind of reminds me of, you know, Jesus. What do you think? Now, the beginning of the song, satin shoes, the cocaine eyes, knocking on the window, howling around the block. Well, that kind of could remind you of a boyfriend that you just didn't want to hear from again. But all in all, ooh, what a good song. And I played that especially for, I call him CG, because he's a musician, aspiring actor, a model, and he sent me an email. And I'm going to talk to you and a little bit about that. But first, let me do these quick announcements. You can subscribe to the podcast at www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. And there you're going to find the show notes and links to the music that you just heard, as well as scriptures of Pastor Paul's message. And I will also put links to some of the things we'll talk about a little bit later. So be sure to go there. And if you'd like to make a comment, you can also make a comment at the blog. And that's Pastor Paul's blog. Again, www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. And you're going to also find a link to our website. That's www.pastorpaul.org. And when you go there, the top of the homepage, you're going to see interactive links. Be sure to check those out. You can also call the comment line if there is something, a testimony that you would like to talk to us about. Tell us about how Pastor Paul's message has helped you, or something about the message that you'd like to talk about. You can call our comment line, and that number is 1-715-808-0318. Or you can also send me an email. That's janine@pastorpaul.org. And as you know, each Friday we have a new episode. Next week will be episode number 64. The name of that message is going to be Negativism and Inferiority Are Not the Way. So be sure to listen to that coming up next Friday. And let me get to the email here. I was quite excited about this email because I really don't get a lot of emails. And let me see. I've got a bunch of things open here. Okay, here we go. To whom it may concern, I am a 15-year-old aspiring actor, model, and musician. I am 6 foot 1.5 inches tall, about 155 pounds, athletic, and extremely hard worker, and a great student. I am curious as to what you're all about. What would I have to do to be represented? Can you give me some advice on finding work? Thanks so much, CG. And we'll just use CG because we are going to keep this anonymous at this time. Wow, when I got this email, I was a little bit curious myself as to what this was all about. Well, then it hit me. Yes, what I have done is I have registered Pastor Paul's mission, Disciples Ministry Church, Inc., a.k.a., with the Minnesota Film and TV Board. Yes, I did it. I had the big idea. Remember our last message about big ideas? I had the big idea that Pastor Paul's people that are represented by Pastor Paul, that we could be extras in movies. How about that for a cool idea? Yeah, you want to hear what I wrote? Okay, here's what I wrote. And I bet, CG, this is where you found us. Because you're talking about being an actor, an aspiring actor, a model, and a musician in the Film Board book. And here, and I'll put a link to the show notes. And here I have. And when you look, we're under Extras Casting. And the website is here. When you click on the website, you'll see all of these thousands of people from the website that we serve. and you'll see. And here's what I wrote about us. Pastor Paul's mission represents a very diverse population of 26,000 registered individuals. It serves of which 40% are children from newborns to 18 years. On the other hand, it serves 10% of a very elderly population of seniors over 90 plus years. The remaining 50% are between the ages of 19 and 64 of varying ethnicity. As far as ethnicity, the largest and most diverse population of authentic ethnic immigrants from all over the globe, Pastor Paul connects communities. So there you go. We are in the Minnesota Film TV Board production guide. Now, the only problem with this, CG, and I hate to be a disappointment, that I've got a few bugs to work out, so to speak. One of which is that all of the thousands of people that we have registered in our database, it's like a little treasure that I have not opened at this time. So what I need to do is I need to be able to call people, send them something in the mail, and to be able to communicate that there are opportunities available. So I'm not quite there yet. Now, this is something in the future. So what you can do as far as finding work. Now, one of the things is you're 15 years old and you're an aspiring actor, a model, and a musician. What you need to do is go to the production guide and go to talent and model agencies. And there you're going to see a number of, now this is assuming that you're from Minnesota, okay? Because I don't even know where you're from according to your email, but I'm going to assume you're in Minnesota. More Creative Talent Inc. I'm familiar with More Creative Talent Inc. They are very reputable, and they have been around. Andrea, she is the owner and the executive director of the company, and I'm looking at their information, and they have worked with numerous film companies, and so you will definitely want to go to moretalent.com and check them out. They are very reputable, and of course, you're going to need your parents to be able to work with you since you are underage. So I hope that's helpful, and I want you to continue to come to Pastor Paul's podcast and listen to the messages, because one thing I can tell you sure is that, you know, being a spiritual being, you definitely want to be in sync with the Lord. Very important. And I liked what you said too, as far as that you're a hard worker, because definitely that's important to be a hard worker and to put everything into it. But the most important thing is to have a good foundation, and that you're going to find that right here at Pastor Paul's podcast. So let me get on with today's message. Today's message is so good. Pastor Paul uses a number of examples that have to do with resentments, fear, hate. A couple of things. Here's one to keep in mind. A lot of time when we have anger or hate or resentments, they're not always visible. They're on the back burner stewing. So keep that on the back burner as we go through this list. One thing he asks about, what does a grudge look like? I'm telling you. Now, CG, you're a little bit young for this movie, but you need to go into the archives and dig it up. This is an excellent movie, and it will be a good visual that I think when Pastor Paul talks about what he asks, what does a grudge look like? And he uses the example of like grudges are things that we, you know, maybe somebody does something to us and we get angry about it. We don't really react, and they're kind of, but it kind of hangs on to you. So he says that a lot of times we walk around, we have these different grudges, and they're just kind of hanging on us here and there. Well, one thing when he was saying that, what brought to my mind was that movie, The African Queen, with Katharine Hepburn. And don't tell me I'm getting a block. Okay. Oh, well. Humphrey Bogart. Oh, my God. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. In this movie, Humphrey Bogart Oh, this is such a good movie. You need to watch this movie before. So these are a couple of really seasoned actors that you're going to be seeing. You can learn from them, okay? Go get the movie, African Queen. Humphrey Bogart, Katharine Hepburn. They're in this old boat. He has to get into the water. There's a scene where the boat's not working. He has to get into the water. He gets in the water and he comes out of the water and he has all of these leeches hanging on him from all over his body, all over. They are so disgusting. That is what I thought about when he was talking about what does a grudge look like. Think about that. Think about that. When you're listening to his message, what does a grudge look like? Go get that movie. Watch him get out of the water with all these leeches hanging off of him. And think about that the next time you have a grudge. Besides that, let me tell you this. Then he has to go back. He gets out of the water with all these leeches on him. He was like, oh, I just don't want to get back in the water again. He was like a grown man crying, but he had to go back in the water again. Oh, my goodness sakes. What a scene that is. You could learn something about acting in that scene. And she's like, oh, I know, you've got to go. He has to go back in there again, knowing these leeches were in there. So good. And he does. He goes back in there and then he just pushes it. He goes through and he pushes it. It's kind of like once you come to know the Lord, then out of that mess, and then you have to go back in it. But you do because there's a bigger purpose. All right, think about that. Anyways. Okay, so time bombs. He said, talks about time bombs. Emotions are a driving force. They can be for good or bad. Sometimes when our heart is noisy, there are attitudes there just churning things up. Sicknesses. 80% of sicknesses, he thinks, are caused by resentments. And let Jesus invade your heart. And that's just what that song reminded me of. The very end of that song was just like invading your heart. God bless you. Have a fantastic week. Keep them grudges at bay. And when you lose them, you don't want to go there again. God bless you.
And today's tape is entitled Anger and Resentments and Hate and Fear Are Not the Way. They're not the way. Mark 9 and 33. But he kept silent, for on the way they had discussed with one another which one of them was the greatest. Oh, there's so much of that going on right now. I did this, and I did this, and I did that, and I did this, and so on like that. And so great today when you were called up and, you know, someone gave you honor here. You're so beautiful. But there's a lot of that competition going on in churches. But they kept silent, for on the way they had discussed with one another which one of them was the greatest, and they were caught in their own thoughts. Well, I think I'm the greatest, and so on and so on, and really I do this and I do that, and so on and so on and so on. So they were silent, thinking about themselves. And sitting down, he called the 12 and said to them, if anyone wants to be first, he shall be last of all, and servants of all. Praise the Lord. On the way again. In Psalm 34 and 5, and they looked to him and were radiant. When you're looking onto Jesus, you get radiant. You receive the light of the Lord. It's a transference. And their faces shall never be ashamed. Wow. Once you look at the Lord, once you really gaze upon Him, now you can glance at yourselves, that's all right, but you gaze at the Lord. Then Isaiah 45 and 22. Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. And like never before, that is the way that has to be preached. For I am God and there is no other. I have sworn by myself and the word has gone forth from my mouth in righteousness. And I will not turn back. That to me every knee will bow, every tongue will swear allegiance. They will say of me, only in the Lord are righteousness and strength. Men will come to Him. And all who were what? Angry at Him shall be put to shame. Ooh. Anger and resentments and hate are not the way. I started to think about this age that we're living in right now and everybody trying to be relaxed, taking trips and going all over, trying to be relaxed, trying to be cool. Well, sometimes our face betrays what we say on the basis of how it looks, of course. We can act relaxed and we can act cool and we can act like we have peace and we can act like we are normal, and then, of course, we're very abnormal. We can act like we are nice, and in these things, then we enter the realm and the way of emotions, the way, anger and resentments and hate and fear. And the body of Christ is plagued by all of these dead-end roads. Are you hearing this? Lives are plagued by those things. Job 3 and 20 says, why is light given to him who suffers? You'll get light like you've never had before if you're willing to suffer just a little bit for Jesus. Because if you're not suffering, you're not open to receive anything. Why is light given to him who suffers and life to the bitter of soul? Because they need it. Suffering creates a need. Bitterness needs life. And it goes on, who long for death, but there is none. You know, there's a lot of people that long for death. It's surprising. And dig for it more than for hidden treasures. Oh, they dig for it. God, why can't I get out of this mess I'm in? And then he gives you light because you've asked a question. Why am I so bitter and why am I so angry and why am I so full of resentments and hates and fears? They dig for it more than for hidden treasures, who rejoice greatly, they exult when they find the grave. Why is light given to a man whose way is hidden? Well, he needs help. God will show you your way, and he will give you light, and whom God has hedged in. And Job goes on, for my groaning comes at the sight of my food, and my cries pour out like water. For what I fear, and there is that emotion, fear, comes upon me. No, I won't make it. Oh my God. I won't be able to do this. I won't be able to do that. I know it. I know it. What a confession. When I felt that way in my ministry, and it happens all of the time, I just kept my mouth shut because I thought, no, if I let this fear out, it'll multiply. Well, we ain't going to be able to make the bills. Huh? Well, I went off and I counseled with God because I don't need a whole lot of making of other people fearful along with me. And then they would tighten up and they wouldn't give to it because people don't give to things that are going down. It's the way we are. The ship is going down, we say, bye-bye. Throw a few more torpedoes at it. Make sure it gets out of our sight so we don't get too convicted. Help some of the survivors. Might be some survivors, you know. For what I fear comes upon me, and what I dread befalls me. I am not at ease, nor am I quiet. When you're fearful, you're not at ease, and you're very noisy. Sometimes even when we're not saying anything, we're noisy on the inside. And I'm not at rest, but turmoil comes. Those are spirits. And I believe Legion was filled with 7,000, the Legion, fears. One of those was turmoil, conflict. And here we have Job, and he's resentful, and he's angry, and he hates where he's at. Because you know why? He feared. And what he feared came upon him. Now here was a man that was blessed to God. Now God allowed then Satan to check out Job, and he went through many trials. You know what he showed him? He said, Job, you're a trying to be. You're a trying to be a relaxed and a cool and a peaceful and a normal and a nice guy, and it isn't working out because you got all these friends told you so, told you so, told you so's. We all have that attitude, told you so, told you so, told you so, don't we? But anyway, God says, go ahead and pray for your friends. Pray for your enemies. And he did it. And God then doubled what he had lost. Are you hearing this message? And what happened? He made a U-turn in his walk. It's a U-turn. You have to turn around. You have to make a U-turn. Because you know what? And I find this in my own life all the time. When I try to suppress my emotions, they just seem to grow. When I, so to speak, put them on the back burner. And the back burner is where things stew. How many are hearing this? Now, don't get to milking with your shoes or something else. Listen to the message, my Lord. But anyway, we put them on the back burner and we start to stew. We're on the verge of boiling over. A lot of people got different things on the back burner. No, I got some back there. And they're back there and they're stewing. And I got this message off some burnt popcorn. I thought, well, I'll just turn it on real easy because there might be some kernels in there that haven't quite popped yet. And I forgot about it. Burn up a pan. But anyway, we have these different things, resentments and this fears and hatreds and all these bitternesses, and what a kettle of stew that is, and we not worth even eating, and we put it on a back burner. And we just leave it back there stewing. Keep it warm. Don't let it cool off. And I find that if we put all of these emotions, our hate and our anger and our resentments, and all these things that are in our subconscious mind, put them back there, they grow. Sort of like a sleeping volcano. And at any time, it can erupt. Now, I've dealt with people that are very, very cool. You could almost call them Mr. Cool by looking at them. But inside, they are suppressing things and anger and resentments and hate that are so violent that at any time they can blow. And when you see someone that's relaxed and cool and
putting on all these airs and everything. When they blow, look out. They are dangerous. They haven't vented in a long, long time. They go off, and they end up, a lot of them, in the mental ward. So today, stop trying to eliminate your emotions, because they are part of you. Now let's settle down here. Lock all the doors and windows. Stop trying to mortify your flesh. Oh, it's just the flesh. People say, it's just the flesh. It's just the flesh. That was my flesh. I had a flesh flash. So I'm gonna mortify my flesh, and I'm not going to pay any attention to it. Hey, you better pay attention to it. Bathe it, wash it, take care of it, love it. Because it's housing God. And see, anyway, it's the attitudes that we have that must be changed, because our emotions are directed then by our attitudes and by our motives. And then I find that emotional people are beautiful when God has to change them and they've made a U-turn. God harnesses all those emotions, the anger and the hatred and the resentments, and I remember. Do you? Oh, you just talk to some people and they'll remember back and they'll go off like a like one of these automatic typewriters like we got downstairs. And it has a memory bank. And you push a button and it types out the whole letter again. Done. And that's the same way it is with us when we got something on the back burner. But you're beautiful if you let God have you to make a U-turn and turn and harness all of those emotions. Redirect all of them. And so that we hate not to love. We hate it when we sin, and we hate it when we talk dirty, and we hate it when booze comes our way, or any of these things, gossip or selfishness. See, the things we used to love, we hate now, and the things we used to hate now that we love. We love the Word of God, and we love people, and we love our wife, and we love our husbands to the best of our abilities, of course, as we grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We love our children, and we love our boss. And we love sinners, and we love parents. And we love Jesus, and we love God, and we love the Holy Ghost. Because you see, your emotions are a driving force. Are you hearing it? So many times people aren't even listening, because they haven't made a U-turn in their listening. Oh, it's so important that we hear. And so many times we are not hearing. And we tell our church children, did you hear me? I have told you repeatedly and time without number. That's the same way God has to do with us. They're not hearing. They're shaking their head. Yes, 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 yes. I understand. They aren't understanding a thing. Might even be interested in a piece of paint that's falling off the wall. I don't know. How many are hearing this? Well, you see, we've got to discipline ourselves. It's got to be an army of God. Hallelujah! And a dedicated army. Now, an army that's dedicated, you can have a commando force of only about 12. And they can go in and destroy a whole airbase, because their timing and their dedication and their loyalty to duty says they do or they die. Say amen. God in the end time is going to have do it or die people. People that will die doing it. Say amen, somebody. Oh, God. We got to raise up people like that. And we got to pack them down with burdens. Now, I want to tell you a burden here. A burden to me is a burden of the word of the Lord. That's a burden I got, giving out the gospel message. You see, these emotions, and I had all that I'm speaking of here right now, a terrible anger and a terrible resentments and all of his bitternesses. And they're on the back burner all the time. I had a friend come in here that I knew in the Army, and he got up and he did a thing for us, and he says, "Well, I just know Paul. He wasn't afraid of doing anything." I thought, what a lie. I was so fearful of everything, I'd lash out at everything. Just to prove a point. But anyway, these emotions are driving forces of our personality, and they can force us up a wall. Do you ever get so mad you feel like crawling the wall? Oh, that guy drives me up a wall! Boy, you look around, and I'm speaking spiritually right now. If you could see in the spirit, you could see a whole lot of people clinging on walls. Because there were walls of anger and hatred and resentment and fear, and it just drives them up a wall. But if they're redirected, they can drive you into the arms of Jesus. Well, you see, how about self-protection? Don't we have a right to get angry? Yeah. Anger should be used for self-protection. Sometimes the best thing you can do is pick up your legs, your angry legs, and get them moving the other way. But should they be used, these different things and these emotions and this anger, should it be used for our own protection? God didn't raise up dummies, did he? Yeah, you can get mad at the devil for what he does to people. You can get angry at evil and oppose it. Because otherwise we allow it to invade and conquer us, and not only us, but others. And you're going to see me angry up here in the pulpit. Yeah, you will. Virtue, which actually means in the original, a goodness and a power and, let's say, a right action and a right thinking and a chastity and a good quality and a bravery and a valor and a courage and a daring and a mighty work, a miracle. It's no good unless it is lashed into a rage. That's why when you get on a roll, you get into a rage for God. Let's do it! I remember when we went in on the turkey caper for Thanksgiving. We come in the building and we had planned some 3,000, 4,000 bags. And I was talking to Janine, she said, "Oh, where do you start?" "Start right here. You take these bags and you move them over this way and you pack them up against the wall. And you'll get all done, and then you'll get all these lined up, and that's how you start, one step at a time. And you work yourself into a rage." Are you raging to go to work in the morning? You rip back the covers. Help! Are you gung-ho for God? Woo! Let's go! Help! I actually got people who walk on the other side of the street when they see me coming. Afraid I might put them to work, and I will. But we must be willing to put this rage to work, raging in goodness and power, raging in right action, raging in thinking and bravery and valor and daring, raging in a mighty work and in miracles. We must be in a rage. And they'll say, "Them Christians are all a rage." Are you raging? Are you roaring, raging? Oh, you can be raging and get things done. I didn't say raving, I said raging. I'll say that again because it's misunderstood a lot today. Raging! Not raving, because ravers just sit there and rave. But raging people get things done. God turns your rage around. And so that you get the job done and you clean this, and, ooh, like you clean your counters down there. Ooh, you mean business. Ooh, they're nice and shiny. Not quite shiny enough yet. Give me a clean rag. No. You go to walk away and your eye catches a piece of lint. Huh? See, God can turn that around. I love those kind of people because I know God can turn people around and they can be raging for God. Soon as they lose anger and resentment and bitterness and fear. God, I can't do that. That's right, you can't do nothing without me. That's what the Lord says. But people will say, that's all the rage. Oh, you go over to Disciples Ministry, and I'll tell you, I was so blessed. We had a carpenter in here, a Christian carpenter, and he's in a rage. I thought, man, this guy's ready to go. I'm going to have to get 1, 2, 3. I'm going to be about 4 steps ahead of him. Now come over here. This has got to be done. And come over here. And I liked him. You know why? He wrote everything down. He says, now, first of all, we got to order all this stuff so it's here. And I thought, oh, I love that. And, go ahead and you write that up. And I was, give me some time to think about some more stuff, you know. So I walked away, I got to get some more stuff. What else? I was in a rage. And I came back and he wrote it all down. And I thought, that ain't enough yet. But I love this type of people that get in a rage for God. Otherwise, we become moral goody-goody two-shoes. These type of Christians walking around satisfied and comfortable in ourselves, and we just trudge through the garbage and, how's it going? Praise the Lord. Oh, there's something in my way. We sit right down in a great big pile of junk. Isn't that right? And it's no organization. That's like contented cows, you know. They stand there chewing their cud. You ever see some Christians do that? They chew on the Word of God, they chew their cud, and they got that dumb cow look on their face. You could kick them and they just hump a little bit. Are you hearing me out there, sluggard, sleeping? Now, this would be Monday, about a little after 1:30. You're still laying, you're still in bed, chewing on a cookie, chewing your cud. But they're like contented cows. And the only time that they give milk is when it's forced out of them. And they do it for their own relief. Oh my God. See, I got to say this. Our measure that we love good, and the measure that we love good will determine our capacity to hate evil. The measure in that we love to do good, good overcomes evil, of course. But the measure that we love to do that good is a measure that we'll have in overcoming evil. That's our capacity I'm talking about. The measure of overcoming evil is how much good we love to do and whip it into a rage. But remember, it is our virtue that must be lashed into a rage and not our hate and not our pride. I got pride. Oh, keep it. Nobody else wants it. And not, I was hurt. I was wounded. And not our fears or not our jealousy. You can get into a raging of fear where rage is on the inside and you can't think of nothing but that fear. Oh, God, it just overcomes you. And then, it starts talking to you. Legion starts talking on the inside and causes you conflict and causes you, God, you can't think of anything to do straight. and somebody talked to you, and you know, it's like a droning. Yeah, huh? Am I the only one that experienced it? Put your hands up. My God, everybody does. Come on, psychiatrist crouch for the whole bunch of you. Praise the Lord. But it's just like we become disconnected. And we let this rage inside, all these fears. Pretty soon the people, this one's talking, that one's talking. God, shut up. Ever happened to you? Know what you have to do? You got to lash yourself with this goodness, lash that into a rage. Get involved in good. And you'll get so involved, you become strong, and God starts feeding you strength. Oh, God. Then all those other things have to go out. All the other emotions have to follow, because you don't pay no attention to them. And hate's over you. Come on, come on. Hey, what's wrong with you? It starts kicking you. Get going. You know you're fearful. You know you can't do that. Who says so? See, because there is a whole lot of difference in the two. One is in touch with Him, Jesus Christ, and the other is hooked to self. So one then is constructive and one is destructive. The righteous anger and the other is wrongous anger. Say, why do you use such a word? Is such a word? I don't know. Sound good? And people will remember it. And so I'm saying today, before we crawl a wall in any situation, let's surrender our emotions to God so we don't have to crawl walls. Do you ever get tired of crawling up a wall? People can make you crawl up a wall when they don't do what you expected them to do. Didn't I tell you to do it? Now, I'm going to try to compose myself. Didn't I tell you to do this? Didn't I tell you Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday? And then the next week, I told you Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. And then I tell you the next week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. How many times do I have to tell you? You're driving me up a wall, huh? In Mark 3 and 5, and he said to them, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save a life or to kill? Are you hearing this? But they kept silent. And after looking around at them with anger, grieved at the hardness of heart, he said, man, stretch forth your hand. And he stretched it out. And his hand was restored, even though it was Sunday. In the Psalm 95, 10 and 11, for 40 years I loathed that generation, and I said, they are a people who err in their heart, and they do not know my ways. Hearing it? Therefore I swore in my anger, truly they shall not enter into my rest. They were disobedient. In Ephesians 4 and 30 through 32 says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom we are sealed for the day of redemption, and let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice, and those are all demons, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ Jesus has forgiven you. And then in Proverbs 8 and 3. No, we'll skip that one. Let's go to Psalm 97 and 10 through 12. Hate evil. You who love the Lord, who preserves the souls of his godly ones, he delivers them from the hand of the wicked. Light is sown like seed for the righteous. When you receive the light, that light is seed to the righteous, those that have received Jesus Christ, because they start to grow. And the more light you receive, the more you grow. And gladness for the upright in heart. Be glad in the Lord, you righteous ones, and give thanks to his holy name. Wow. And so now we know that anger is a driving force. It must be harnessed. It must be controlled. That's like your car engines. You know your car engine is under a whole lot of controlled explosions? Do you know that? And those controlled explosions keep it moving ahead. Each piston fires, it's boom, bing, bam, boom, 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 driving that piston down that drives the drive shaft, that drives the rear end, that drives the wheels and moves it ahead. But it's under control. Now, if you want to get someplace in a hurry, just throw a match in the gas tank there and it'll blow up and it'll not only hurt you, it'll hurt others right along with you. And that's the same thing that happens to us, isn't it? Satan lights up our short fuses. Oh, so many people got short fuses. And their fuse is their ear. And their ear has got a short fuse. What? What's that you say? Didn't hear a song like that? What'd you say? She said, if your kid does not shape up, they're going to get a spanking. Oh. Well, we'll see about that, we will. I kind of wondered. I heard a person say, I said, who is the will? Wheel, you know. Who is this? Is there two people? Yeah, it's you and the devil. It's pouring gas on your emotions. And your emotions, if they're... you know, they touch my kid, I'll kill you. Remember when I went over in the yard and I had all these things on the back burner? I was waiting for some neighbor to. I think we only had Debbie and Cheryl at the time, and they were back there swinging. We had confrontations with these neighbors, and I put it on the. I'll throw it in the back burner. I'll forget, but I didn't forget. Oh, still back there, still cooking. Good. And they did ever a slightest little thing. Settle down now, folks. Ever a slightest little thing. And I whipped myself into a rage and I went across the street. And oh my, what a scene. I not only shocked them, I shocked myself. I got a reflection of myself in a car window, I think it was. I thought, my God, who's that? Who was me? I talked myself and put something on the back burner and I got myself in a rage. And if it don't leave you and that situation don't leave you, it'll leave your life in shreds. I went home and I was shredded like shredded paper. Loose ends all hanging out. I was frazzled. I mean, you're just like your hair is frazzled. I mean, it was just like shredded paper, frazzled. We got to learn how to control our anger from the Lord. We got to learn how to use it to glorify God. Jesus in Mark 3 and 5 that we just read, that was a controlled anger. He looked around at their faces and he got angry because you know why he got angry? Because he was grieving for this man. No one works on Sunday. They had control in their work. A lot of people can control their work. They just don't do it. I wonder if that they were probably union people, don't you think? They didn't work on Sunday. You know, a lot of folks use that. They don't do nothing on Sunday. Hey, it's Sunday. And then Monday comes, and it's the same old thing. But boy, Sunday, then they got a... Sunday! Nobody works on Sunday. Hey! And then everybody else is a big sinner, but they go in the cafe. I'll take this and that, you nasty sinner. Serve me. Fill my car up, sinner! Isn't that right? Just think if everybody just didn't do anything on Sunday. Sunday was made for man, not man for Sunday. There's a balance. Ooh, maybe if they paid him double time. Oh, that changes people's mind. Give you double and a half time. Okay. Praise God, I'll do it. Kind of like putting a carrot out in front of the donkey, huh? See, Jesus' anger was not personal. It wasn't out of being egotistical. It was a grief at the hardness of men's hearts. Jesus was angry for the underprivileged. And therefore, it was a righteous anger. See, a righteous anger has grief in it on account of what's happening to others. And not a grudge on account of what's happening to us. Oh, we can hold grudges. I wonder what a grudge looks like. Must be a nasty old thing, a grudge. Sometimes people carry grudges all over their body. They're hanging on them like leeches. Got so many grudges, they're begrudged with grudges. And they walk along and these grudges speak to them. Hey, don't forget that. Hey, don't forget me down here. Remember that, 1940, clear as a nose. Remember? Ah, yeah. And all day long they walk around with these grudges hanging on them. Little leeches, little ugly demons. They look up, don't forget. Oh, there comes that person again, get mad. Did you ever stop to think about what a grudge looks like? Oh, and some of us can be so, we can just be so peaceful and quiet, and we're just got grudges hanging all over us. I mean, I wish that we could have a picture. We got artists in here. Draw pictures of people with grudges hanging all over them. What a weight, what a burden to carry, all them nasty little folks hanging all over you. Always got a bone to pick. But be careful at this point. Be very careful when you say you're grieving for someone else. You know why? The mind plays tricks on us. Are you hearing this? And then it plays tricks on itself, and it will dress up in its personal mads. In its filthy, righteous rags. And then you get mad for somebody else to prove your point. I've heard people counsel other people. Oh, that reminds me. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I know exactly what you're saying. Uh-huh. Yeah, my eighth husband was that way. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. You know, I get so mad for you. Oh, God, I get mad for you. Mad, 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 mad. And the grudge down there says, get mad for her. And the other one over there says, mm-hmm. And they're all down there clapping, hanging on and clapping. Ee-haw. Cheering you on. And we dress it up so that we say, I'm mad for the person. Hey, I'm just mad for you. And they're mad for themselves, and they're taking it out on this person. So you got to be careful. Because you know what? You'll try to prove your point through somebody else. Well, then you say, it was a principle of the thing. It's none of my business, but there was a principle involved. And a lot of the women libbers are that way. They got all these grudges hanging on them. Oh, God. I get so mad when they do this to a woman. And actually, a lot of it, some's okay, but a lot of it is just that the people are with personal grudges. And it's the same way with men. Well, it was the principle of the thing. When they stand up for others, but really it was the, not the principle, it was the personal of the thing to them. Got your goat. Oh, a lot of people got ugly goats following them. Chewing on old cans of resentment and hey, crunch, crunch. And them whiskers hanging down, crunch, and them old eyes are crossed, ready to ram anybody that gets in the way, crunch, 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 and there's a whole herd of them. Got your goat, and they got a whole lot of goats following them. Herds of stinking goats with flies and maggots in their eyes. Think about it. There's another picture you can draw, folks. People that, boy, did they get my goat. I know some of the folks are getting mad on the radio because, see, they are goat herders. And they herd goats all day long. And if it isn't one goat, it's another goat. You're always getting one of their goats, isn't that right, folks? All right? You too on the tape. And so what have I said here? I'm saying that this righteous indignation, even when it's pure, 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 should not be kept overnight. The Bible says, be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. And so this then is the anger that sins, not at, don't keep it overnight. That's the anger that sins when you keep it overnight. Or the Bible says it will make you bitter and it will spring up and it'll choke you. It's like something stewing, like I said, on the back burner just ready to start into a fast boil and a burnover, boil over. I ask God a lot of times to reveal my real motives in my anger. Why are you so upset about that? And if I check it out real close, most of the time it's something back there that irritated me. And there's some kind of a little grudge that peeks out around the back of my kneecap here and reminds me of what it was. Does the rag you've been a-chewing lose its flavor overnight? Do you wake up in the morning with a gut and a headache out of sight? Does that rag you've been a-chewing on lose its flavor overnight? A lot of people chew the rag. But if we're dishonest and ask God, oh God, reveal my real motive in my anger, you can always tell a person who's trying to cover up their anger against you. And you know why? Because anything you say will be used against you. You won't be able to be with that person more than 10 minutes, and old resentments will show up. There are grudges that are hanging all over that person, crawling over the tops of their heads, hanging off of their eyebrows, if you will, peeking around their ears and talking to them, and they'll bring up something that happened way back in 1932. Oh, I know there's a lot of people. You listening on the radio, you're sleeping. It can either be the man or the woman you're sleeping with. Time bombs. And you're laying there at night. I used to be a time bomb, didn't I? I'd be laying there. You didn't want your foot to touch the other person because you're a man. Ooh, stay away. God. Shrink your flesh up as small as you could. Make yourself miserable. Sleep on the edge of the bed. You go and check people's mattresses out. If that thing is rolled over off the side, this is a resentful person who's sleeping right on the edge. Myself, I like to snuggle all night long, so there's a great big hole in the middle of our bed. Not a rut, a hole. Oh, you can tell so much by going into people's houses. But this person is a time bomb. You can be driving along in the car. Driving along, see? You're just driving along. All of a sudden, you feel something. You feel it. It's in the car with you. Oh, God, there's a grudge here. And you start getting sick in your gut. Four grudges, five grudges, and pretty soon the whole car is full of grudges. Kind of like that movie they got, All Them Demons. The Ghoulies. Did you see that hellish thing on TV? And it shows... Huh? And you never know how they're going to react, you know what I mean? And you're driving along in the car, and all of a sudden you start to get sick. Oh, God! The Ghoulies are here, huh? The grudge! Oh, God, help me. Help me, shall I jump off, roll in the ditch? Oh, God. Or maybe you're laying in bed. All of a sudden you feel this. And there's all these grudges in bed with you. Oh, God. You talk with people and you can feel them grudges hanging all over them. Their ears are hanging down because there's grudges hanging on them. And their cheeks are drawn. You know why? And they're all hung out and, you know, and their whole face starts to fall. You know why? There's grudges hanging all over their face. Pulling their faces out of, contorting it, making them ugly. And then people come up and say, "Who you got a grudge against?" God, help me with this message because it's too much truth. I'm liable to get stoned up here. But they're time bombs and they can go off at any time. Did you hear this on the TV or radio that they found this, one of Hitler's bombs? And they found it from 1940-something? This is 19... Now, everybody sit still. Nobody get up and move till I get done with this message. Please. Please, that is so rude. Come on now. Now, I rest you people, don't be rude. I don't hold grudges. I just tell folks, okay? This huge bomb. And they had to go... deactivated. And I thought, how many people are running around and they have these old bombs inside from former wars that didn't go off? In the debris and in the ruins. God, I said, there's a lot of people walking around like that. The Lord says, yep, sure is. They're walking time bombs. You never know when they're going to go off. or some little grudge will get a hold of them. Just got one off my leg right there. Let me wrap it up. Oh, and see, these are hid. And these bitternesses are hid. They always turn up in anger. And by the way, it's usually completely out of context. You're driving along, and you know, it's like a person, like I said, with these controlled explosions. Boom! But they're still exploding, like the car. But they're in neutral. Boom, 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 boom. Huh? You know what? They're going to boil over. Say amen, somebody. Woo! But it's completely out of context. You're driving along, or you're sleeping in your bed, and you say, "Wasn't it a nice day today?" And the person says, "Yeah, it was a day just like this when you remember a day like what? Tell me." "No, nothing." "Oh, come on. I know something's wrong, darling, dear, sweet. Don't you call me darling, dear, sweet. I hate you. God, I hate you." And everybody thinks I'm talking about my wife. I'm talking about myself. I have been delivered. And the things I used to love, the grudges, I hate. And I hate people that carry grudges too. Oh God, they're ugly. But it doesn't have nothing to do with what you're talking about. But see, the grudge reminds them. Well, how are you going to get this thing in there? Now, it's festering, but how are you going to sneak it in? And so even a little simple thing like, "Gee, it's a nice day." Mm-hmm. The grudges remind you of a day back when. God. Oh, Lord, help us. But you know what you have to do in that case? You become a listener. And you listen. And you listen. And you don't, you just sit there with sort of a blank look on your face. And you don't receive it. And the person has to hear themselves. And they go back and they say, "Now what exactly did I say?" And you know what? The grudges will remind them. All things are working together for good. They'll remind him, listen to him. "Oh, you did this, but hey, you had every right in the world to say that. But see, you sure you did that, but hey, it was justified, huh?" They show their hand. Every grudge shows its hand every time. Oh, God. But then sometimes people say, "Well, you know, I never answer. I never say anything. I hang silent." But their heart is noisy. In our wrong attitudes, we can say a whole lot without even opening up our mouths. And so we find out today we must not hold our anger against people and have continual blow-ups, but to let God come in and keep us quiet. I didn't say pious. I didn't say fight back and hold back attitudes. You know why? Because Satan will put you on a shelf then. Hey, I'm just not going to get involved. Every time I try to do something good, look what happens. Wherever good is, evil is always present. Every time I just try to say something good or be nice or something, look what, I'm just going to, and Satan puts you on a shelf. He picks you up, and by your confession, your ears, brings you over. Well, there's another basket case, another shelfer. Put him up there, nice little trophy. Little hurt feelings. Throw them on a shelf. And so a whole lot of Christians are on the shelf because they got angry. They had controlled explosions while sitting in neutral. The only thing wrong with sitting in neutral, Satan will come up and put you in gear and you'll run over some innocent party. You know what I mean? People that control their explosions on their own? Huh? Boom, 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 boom. And Satan puts you in gear. And you run over innocent folks. Anything that gets in your way. Ever feel like that? Driving up on a curb, you're trying to get someplace. You say, oh, I could just take my car. Bam, this way. Bam, that way. Drive right down the street. More down. Anybody ever feel that way? Put your hands up. I'm just sick of people. Just take the car. Drive. And that's why I can understand people when they get into those kind of things. Oh, God. You drive along. You can see a lot while you're driving along. There's two people sitting in a car. And you look next, and the lips are drawn. They're real. The husband is sitting there, you know. And the wife has shrunk his brain so that his hat is coming down. It's right by his. The grudge has got, you know, it's like they got a personality. And their hat is hanging down so it, their ears are hanging down. And you look, and the wife's sitting there. And then the husband looks, a little, the husband just happens to look over that. He looks over and sees you, and he goes. Now, I do it. I just roll down the window real quick, and I just make sure I got my light on for, you know, a turn. I say, down the hall, grudges, boom! Oh, God. This woman come up the other day and says, you know what? People are beginning to make me sick! I says, you know what? It's going to show up in your eating. I says, it's going to upset your whole intestinal tract and because you're out of sorts. And then people say, I'm out of sorts. He's out of sorts today. He's off his feed. That's it. Now, don't use that method for losing weight because you'll just become a real skinny, hard, mean person. Mr. Stick. Mr. Billy Club. There's another thing. Hey, draw that one, somebody. You're an artist. Draw that one. Mr. Billy Club doesn't eat because he's got all these, you know. He's upset himself, or she's upset herself, and they're just mean little. You ever seen mean little stick people? Huh? Billy Clubs with a head on it. And then people use them. They got that thing. They just wrap it around their wrist, their leather. And people, hey, go get him. He's a good Billy Club. He'll club anybody to death. And then you just set him off. Billy Club, over that way. Whack, 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 whack. Oh, God. You know what I'm laughing about? I used to be a Billy Club. Go A couple more scriptures. Genesis 49 and 7. Cursed be their anger, for it is fierce, and their wrath, for it is cruel. Oh, God. You hearing this today? Ecclesiastes. And this is 9 and 4. For whoever is joined with the living, there is hope. Surely a live dog is better than a dead lion. Wouldn't you rather be a live dog to begin with than a dead lion? Laying with all fours up in the air and a fly buzzing around, your tongue hanging out? For the living know they will die, but the dead do not know anything, nor have they longer a reward, for their memory is forgotten. People don't even remember them. Indeed, their love, their hate, and their zeal have already perished, and they will no longer have a share in all that is done under the sun. Go then, eat your bread in happiness, and drink your wine with a cheerful heart, for God has already approved your works. A glad heart and a happy heart worketh like a medicine. God has approved all of your works already. Oh my. And this is chapter 3 of Colossians in verse 10. Verse 8. But now you also put them aside, all anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have laid aside the old self with its evil practices, and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to the true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. Wow. Isn't that beautiful? Let me lock this up today. A lot of times the thought of seeing someone comes to us, someone that we have hated. The thought comes to us as soon as we see them and we're sick of them. I know that 80% of all the sicknesses, and you can talk about healing all you want to, and I believe in healing, but I think the healing is in the mind. A lot of it. It's in the emotion. It's in the anger. I know I'm sick. A lot of times I'm sick. I have to get right with God. Talk to a person who had ulcers, and they got ulcers because they were angry and they were resentful. That's the case a lot of times, folks. And he got rid of them. You know what? They grew back in, but they were seven times as worse. And that's scripture. Got to give our anger to God. One more piece of scripture in Psalm 16, 32 and 33. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he who rules his spirit than he who captures a city. And listen to this, it's so precious. The lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. When we're right with God, God casts the lot in our a bag. A commitment in our lap. But God is in it. God is going to entrust you with things when he has you under control. Now, I talked all morning long about myself. And I said it, and I am glad. Because we're saved by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony. When we give our testimony out, it encourages other people. And certainly you can be encouraged. Oh God, if you could just see the army of people I knew through the, you know, working with all the whores and pimps from 9 years old on up in all of the different cycles and all of the different things. And the army life and the boys' schools. And I wonder about all this stuff. And, oh, God, why couldn't I got saved way back then? I don't think I would have been effective one bit. I really don't. Because we're facing problems right now that can be solved so easily if we're just honest with God and one another. To say, these things are there, and by the Lord's help, we can overcome. Praise the Lord. We don't have to live like this anymore. And we just start shaking ourselves and get all the grudges or the ghoulies all off of our bodies. Wipe them off. And give our bodies as a sacrifice unto God. Holy. Sacrifice to the Lord. So I want to sacrifice my life, Lord, to this work. I want to sacrifice my life, Lord, to this ministry. I want to support this ministry. I want to be there, Lord. I want to see things happen in other folks. A lot of times people can get so fed up and so full of everything they don't receive for themselves. I mean, you know, let's get involved in this church. Let's really get involved. There's a whole lot of people out there that need help. Get involved. They got Don's meetings. We got a Friday meetings here. We got Sunday. Hey, what's happening right now over the radio? And with this little body that's down here, it's a city set on a hill. There really is. But it's a city set on a hill by God. And if it isn't, the Lord is quickly reminding me I don't have to sit around for a whole year to get the message. God tells me, you got some grudges hanging on you. You got some ghoulies hanging all over you. You got a bunch of goats behind you. And now, is there anybody in here today that doesn't have Jesus as their personal Savior? You can have him today. And you can start being sane today. Because without Jesus Christ, there is no sanity. Even me in the Lord, when I get one degree off of Jesus, I'm insane. That's real insanity, to have the Lord and not to use him. Isn't that right? Praise the Lord. That's like having a covering of clothes and then going out in 50 degrees below 75 wind chill and walking out with no clothes on. Is there anyone in here that doesn't have Jesus as their personal Savior? Anybody? Are you born again, honey? Well, you came to the right place. And it says in the Bible, woe be it to the preacher that doesn't minister the gospel. The gospel is a message that if you confess with your heart and your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, thou wilt be saved. It's so simple. So simple. And I can tell you one thing, it changes your life. Radically. Jesus comes in and there is an invasion of your privacy. How dare you enter in these rooms of resentment and hate and bitterness? How dare you? Oh, but he does. And he keeps right on knocking till you open up your nasty old door. You hear a song like that? Somebody's knocking at my door. Oh, won't you let him come in? Somebody's knocking. Huh? Isn't there? At my door. Well, there's somebody knocking today. And there's somebody knocking at your door today.